You know, we're living in a day again, the Spirit of God wants to minister life to you. How many hear me? You got to understand, in fact, Father, minister life as I minister your word. And we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. You know, understand, spiritual warfare is very real, but you don't sometimes even think about it. And the enemy's got a way of cornering you with your thoughts, with your feelings, and then sometimes with circumstances and making you feel alone, bereft, unhelped, uncared for. And when you have those kinds of thoughts, so sometimes you feel like the whole world's against you and nobody cares. See, that's a demonic influence trying to rob you of the blessings of God, right? And see, the presence of God when you sing, like what happened today, you may not realize it, but there was a lot going on in the room while you were worshiping. I don't see a lot of stuff, but I can tell you the angels of God were in this room, and I don't know what they do, but I have memorized Hebrews 1:14, Arthur S. Way's translation, which says, "The angels!" exclamation point. What are they but ministering spirits who render service to God, who are hour by hour being dispatched on errands of ministration for the help of us who have salvation as our heritage. Is that not awesome? And then Psalm 103, verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, which excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word." And then you'll notice that when Jesus was going through his wilderness test in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4, it says the angels came after Satan. You know, he said, it is written several times to Satan. The angels came and ministered to him. Now listen, Jesus had nothing available to him that we don't have today. Jesus didn't do what he did by the power of the office of the Son of God. He did what he did as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. And so as Jesus ministered and as Jesus, you know, poured himself out, and just before he began his ministry, see, the angels ministered to him. There's a couple other times in the New Testament, the Gospels, says the angels came and ministered to him. You know, Jacob, we sang a little song when I was a little boy, "Jacob's Ladder, We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." Jacob put his head on a rock, and that's how they slept, believe it or not. I've seen some weird pillows in my day. We got some weird woods in Ethiopia where I go, but he had a rock for a pillow. And Jacob put his head on that pillow. He was sleeping just to, you know, prop his head up. And he saw a ladder and angels ascending and descending. Jesus mentioned that in his ministry. He said, "For you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So the ministry of angels, Peter, I didn't have any of this planned, and this is not really where I think I'm going. I don't think. I'm just opening my mouth. But Peter, don't forget that he was put in prison. And, you know, they had planned to kill him, but the church began to pray for Peter. What's that, Acts 12? And the church began to pray for Peter, and an angel appeared to him. And of their own accord, the stocks he was in, the chains and things that had his hands and feet, they just fell off. And then the door opened of its own accord. See, there are laws of locomotion and laws of physics we don't know about that angels do. And he got out. And then don't forget that Paul was on a ship in the ocean, and a big nor'easter blew up, and I mean, it was bad. They couldn't tell up from down, in from out, sun from moon. They couldn't see anything, and they thought they were going to die, and an angel of God appeared to the Apostle Paul, and he said, don't be afraid, you won't die. I'll keep you and all of the men with you as long as nobody leaves the ship. Remember that? So see, angels have a lot to do, and we don't really understand that. You should never worship an angel, right? You know, John went to worship the angel in Revelation 20. He said, don't do it. He said, worship Jesus. So we don't magnify them, but they do work on our behalf. You're going to see an increase of angelic help. I'm convinced you're riding on 440 and 540 and what else over around here, all these crazy roads, that the angels of God are around your vehicle. And the cuckoo people taking fentanyl and smoking weed that are doing 95 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone, you know, they protect you from them. How many hear me? So I'm just saying that if you'll get up in the morning and spend time with Jesus, you'll just be amazed at how that presence. Now, let me tell you something about the presence of God. Sometimes you don't feel it because you're tired, or maybe you're frustrated, or maybe you had a negative conversation with your boss and you're obsessing over that, or maybe you had a little spat with your spouse or something just not right, or you know, maybe you went to the hairdresser and they cut your hair wrong, or maybe they cut it all off like mine, and you just frustrated, you know, so those kinds of things can affect your feelings. But how many know feelings and God are sometimes diametrically opposed? Yes or no? So sometimes God is closest when you don't feel anything. Because Jesus said to Thomas who doubted, "Blessed are they who have not seen or felt, but yet have believed." Right? So sometimes God won't let you. And let me just tell you, if you're a feeling-oriented person and you like to feel things, maybe you're an artsy person. Artsy people are feeling people. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. See, the side of my brain that works well, you know, I'm just real logistical. I'm engineer-oriented. I just like the way things work, taking things apart, putting them back together, you know, organizing. That's the structure of my mind. See, that can get in the way of God, right? I can organize God right out because I can do this, this, this. So sometimes they say, shut up. And you can hear him say, just spend time with me. See, often when the Lord speaks to you, it doesn't make sense to your head. But you'll find if you'll follow your heart, God will meet you. There's a person here struggling with yourself. The Lord hasn't revealed to me who it is, but see why I'm crying? Because I can feel you. You feel alone. Life has happened and you feel alone. And here's your thoughts. I shouldn't be alone at this juncture of life. I should have a companion with me. So you feel that. And you feel the loss. But see, inside of me, I hear the Lord will, your maker will be your husband. It's a lady. And he will minister to you. So whether you're a man or a woman and you feel alone, I'm telling you, you get in the presence of Jesus, he'll transform your life. Do you hear me? You know, just the way I was raised in the country by myself, started school at age 5. I was 2 years behind everybody in my classes, and I graduated high school at age, I went into senior high at 15 years of age, graduated 16, and then went to college, but I'm just saying that because of that, and they're just extenuating circumstances, and I don't want to talk about all of them, but just to say I felt alone a lot. But when I came to Jesus, he put his finger on my alone. And then he said, you're never alone. And then we sang this song when I was a little boy. No, never alone. No, never alone. It's in the Baptist hymnal. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Anybody know that song? That means you've read the Southern Baptist hymnal. And he keeps going, no, never alone. No, never alone. We sang it in the kids' choir. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Hebrews 13:5. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good? So when the enemy says you're by yourself, no, you're not. No, the Lord's with you. I've told this before. I've been on all these missions trips. I think about them on occasion, maybe more now than I used to. But at times when I was just, there was no English-speaking people near me. And I'm 10,000 plus miles from home. And I'm with another missionary, but I'm in my room alone. There's nothing on the radio. Everything's in another language. There's nothing on TV. Everything's in another language. All I got is my Bible, my books, and me. And then the Lord. And you just don't know how many times. When you get off by yourself, there is nobody that knows you as well as the Lord does. If you go to read Psalm 139, Lord, you have known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up. There's not a thought in my mind, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have surrounded me behind and before, set your hand upon me. Where can I go to be with you? Where can I go where you're not? He said, if I go to the uppermost heavens, you're there. If I descend into Sheol, the place of the dead, hell, behold, you're there. The bottom of the ocean, you're there. The top of a mountain, you're there. In a lonely hotel room, we would say today, behold, you're there. Your hand leads me. Your right hand holds me. Isn't that awesome? So you just got to know in every circumstance of life. See, I feel him. There's somebody else, you're really hurt over a child. I don't know what it is. But I hear the Lord saying, put that child into my hands and leave that child with me. And I will minister to him and direct his steps. There are almost so maybe others that have girls that are involved. But if you worry about them, you keep them away from the Lord. But if you'll cast those things on the Lord, there are 10 people in the room, you're concerned about your job. And how many know God Almighty will meet your needs? It may be through another avenue than the job that you have right now. So what he doesn't want you to do is be concerned about your job. How many hear me? You know, he's also concerned about your marriage. A lot of people today don't feel like they're fulfilled in their marriage relationship. How many hear me? But you know what you'll find out if you'll start praying for your spouse and ask God to help you be the spouse that they need. And if you'll love them, even while you don't feel like your needs are met. Maybe your husband's not helping you with the dishes, or maybe he's not helping you with the kids like you think he should. Maybe he's not taking care of the car or the home like you think he should. And maybe you've berated him and just aggravated him. He's about ready to give you the middle finger. If you'll take all, I know. I'm just being real. Can we be real? If you'll take that to the Lord, say, Lord, I need help. And ask the Lord to put it on his heart to do this or that. And the same way with you. Okay, can I be extremely real? Some of you men feel like, my wife ain't meeting my needs. Well, shut your trap. I mean, really. When did marriage become having all your needs met? Marriage is about you loving your spouse the way Jesus loved this church and gave himself for her. So, well, my wife, she ain't kissing me, hugging me. Ain't got nothing going on in the bedroom. Well, you know what? You need to take that to Jesus. And you know what you'll find out? If you love her, she'll love you back. But if you pay attention to other things and you forget her, that's why you're wrestling with what you're wrestling with. I did not. How do I do this, Lord? I plan on saying. How many know it's a day, seriously, if you'll take your challenges to the Lord, he's going to help you, right? Right? Some of you have small business. If you'll take that thing to the Lord and you'll say, Lord, I ask you to prosper everything. You promise. How many know God promised to prosper everything you set your hand to do? Just take your hand and say, hand, God promised to bless you. That hand represents everything you do. And if you just won't take no for an answer and you do your homework, now you can't be lazy and expect God to bless you, right? You got to do diligence. You got to offer whatever you do, whatever service, whatever thing you provide. Do it with excellence. Do it with honesty. Do it with integrity and do it timely. And if you'll do that and you say, God, you know, how many know God will put his super on your natural? You know, God is super. You got to do the natural, but if you offer no natural, he has no super to provide you. So supernatural comes when you do your part. Put leg work on it, right? So do your part. You know, I started a business in 19. I had a traveling ministry, and the Lord led me. I didn't want to do it, and I started a paint and wallpaper business. It was called Excellence Painting Services, and I eventually turned. I did, no kidding. I didn't know, and I'm going to use a colloquialism here. I didn't know squat diddly about painting. Or diddly squat. But I learned real quick. So I went to people that knew how to paint. I hired a guy that knew how to paint. And anyway, bottom line of that was God began to bless that. God began to prosper that. When I came here, actually, in 1994, that business was prospering. And the guy that I gave the business, I actually gave it to the Lord. I was going to keep part of it, you know. But the Lord said, give it away. It's your security blanket. Let me be your security. So I gave it away, but God bless the person I gave it to. But you know, when I had that business, I would get up in the morning and I say, God, I expect, here's what I'm looking for. I tell him how much money I need to make. I told him I wanted contracts accepted, and I asked him to let people see the ads that I put in the local newspaper. And and let them see the people that needed the work that we did, and that began to happen. And, you know, God began to bless. But see, I had to stand my ground. How many hear me? In faith, when it looked like it wasn't working. That every morning I was up at 5 o'clock reading my Bible, praying. I put my work clothes on. I had no work to do. That's what you do. You expect. You act like. You act like it's working when it looks like it's not. I've told you this, Lester. I'm just talking, y'all. This is amazing to me. Lester Sumrall's mother, Lester Sumrall, died in 1996. He was really an apostle to the nations. He's traveled over 100 nations. And he traveled with a British man, but nonetheless, his mother, when he was a teenager, his mother had to, the money for the home stopped coming in. His father worked for the rail lines, and he was a welder, and a piece of hot molten steel broke off of something he was welding and shot up in there. He looked up, it fell down into his eyeball. Burn his eye completely out. I know it's out to even think about it. But he was disabled. And they kicked the family to the curb, and the company gave him no money. So his mama had no way to support and no money for the kids. And he said time and time again, he said, my mama would put the dishes on the table and put the napkin right beside it. And then you put your fork and your spoon and your knife. And she said she'd put the goblet there and fill it up with water. And she'd sit in a chair and just praise God and thank God for being the one that meets her needs. And time after time after time, he'd hear a rustling on the stoop right outside the kitchen door. Open the door and there's a whole basket of food, every single thing they needed for the whole family. And she'd ring a little bell, dinner served, over and over. And you know, I don't know about you, but that blesses me. I'm going to know God is no man's debtor, and God will meet you if you listen. And if you'll obey him. How many hear me? So I think I can wander into my message. Y'all ready for this? I think I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of this. I feel it in my heart. You know, when the presence comes, you got to learn to flow with it. How many hear me? And the presence of God is here. Now, it may have waned and you may not feel it, but, you know, he's talking to you if you listen. And while I'm talking, he's going to be talking to you, right? So whatever your venture in life is, whatever your occupation is, whatever your family life is like, whatever you're dealing with at home or in your personal life, you're going to find God speaking to you while I'm talking, because that's what he does. How many hear me? So I've been talking. I was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee mid-month, and I was somewhere, and I always keep something with me to write things down. Well, Jesus, I wasn't in obedience, but here I be. And you know, he may say, we got to talk. You know how mom or dad, they take you in a room and say, we got to talk. My kids, when they disobeyed me, I said, we got to talk. Go to my room. How would you like for him to do that to you? So the idea is, give God your best. Philippians 3:13, beloved, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. That is what God has for me. But this one thing, Paul said, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly calling in Christ. So the idea there is, give God the best that you have, right? Pursue him. In fact, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. That word press actually could be translated strain. You ever drop something, can't hardly get it? You ever, men, worked on the engine in your vehicle and something dropped over here and you're trying to get to it and just about a half inch away, can't quite get it? You're stretching and straining. That's what he's talking about. Are you stretching for Jesus that way? Or you say, well, just hum-ho, whatever comes. Okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. The days of casual Christianity over. How many hear me? We talked about this last week. If you weren't here, go back and get that, because it really is a day not to be a sleepy believer, but to be awake and be a person who walks in the light. That means they're aware of their surroundings, they're aware of what's happening, and they're pursuing the presence of Jesus. How many hear me? Then last week, the first point on these 6 points God gave me was be a person of the Word. Stay full of the Word of God, and we talked about that last week. How many know the Word is a lamp and the Word is a light? Now, you know, I carry a little really powerful 1,200 watt flashlight in my pocket. It's lithium battery. I keep it charged, and I do that because if I'm walking, and I walk in the dark sometimes several miles at night, And if I come upon something, I turn that thing on and it's very bright, right? So light opens up the path in front of you so that you don't stumble, right? The word is a lamp and the word is a light. And the idea is you can see right in front of you, you can see ahead of you. And that's what God wants his word to be. I talked about it last week. Then there are four levels of the word of God working in you. And I covered that last week. First level is the level of a convert. Everybody say a convert. Are you a convert only? That is, you just come to the Lord, spiritual things are new. But see, a convert is hungry, and that means they're reading the word and they're seeking to apply it to their life. And then there's the second phase I mentioned last week of the word being in you, and that is you become an epistle or a letter where the word of God gets inside of you and you think about the word all the time. How many know that's a good level? I'm going to go fast because I got other ways to share this with you. And then the next level of the word is to be a disciple. Everybody say, be a disciple. A disciple is a person that's given their will to God. You say, God, whatever you want me to do. In fact, a disciple is like this. Yesterday. I was in Home Depot. We put wreaths on our house. And so Susan put new little bows on and all that. And I had to go get the little hangers. And so I went to Home Depot to do that. And I had a little buggy with me. So I'm pushing the buggy around looking, you know, figuring out where the little hangers are. And I found the hangers. And I had them in my hand. I said, well, I don't need the buggy. So I left the buggy right there. And I said, well, just wait. Just wait. God, just wait. Just wait. And I was in a hurry. And I got to the checkout place, you know, deet, 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 and doing all that, sticking it in the bag. And I heard the Lord say, you go back and get that buggy. I'm not making that up. He said, you go get that buggy from where it's just sitting right there in the aisle in the way. I said, I finished my stuff, you know, paid with my little card. And then I picked up my bag. He said, now go get that buggy. And you know what I did? I went and got the buggy. And I put it right where it's supposed to be. See, that's how the Lord, listen, that's, but you know what? If you don't obey in the little things, you will obey in the big. Husband, before you go out the house, the Lord may say, go kiss your wife and tell her she's the most special thing in your life. And you mad, and y'all had a spat. See, if you don't do that, you're disobeying, right? Huh? Oh, can I get real sticky? God says, give him a tenth of what you earn. You ain't doing that. Huh? That's disobedience, is it? So how can you be a disciple if you disobey? Right? So anyway, I could go into that a lot. Minister, the last point of getting in the word is being a minister. That is, God uses you to minister to others. Now, everything I just said, I have podcasts on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I've been taking time on the podcast to cover those in more detail than I did last Sunday. So go get that. But I want to talk about ways to be prepared for 2024. The second point today is stay full of the Holy Ghost. If you want God to minister to your life, you got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. So let me cut to the chase for sake of time. We think about full. Kenneth Weiss brings this out in his expanded translation of the New Testament. And he brings out where it says here, let me see, right here. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine. In fact, Weiss translation, stop being intoxicated with wine. If you're doing a lot of drinking and getting drunk, let me just tell you that demon spirits are having a heyday in your life. Somebody came up to me last week asking, well, what about weed? Let me tell you about weed. Y'all know what weed is? So weed, fentanyl, or abusing over-the-counter medications or prescription medications or taking any other thing that assaults your central nervous system and puts you in numbville or la-la land where you don't know what you're doing, like these crazy people that are driving on our roads right now. Do you hear me? See, when you ingest those things, demon spirits say, oh, there's a person that don't know what they're doing. They've ingested a substance like the Native American Indians did when they smoked the peace pipe. You know what they were doing? They were getting into a place. They opened themselves up to demon spirits. Did you know that? I'm not picking on the Indians either. I'm just stating a fact. Is that okay? And so don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. And I've seen a lot of ruined lives. Have you? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Weiss again says, stop being intoxicated with wine, in which state of intoxication there is profligacy, which means you just, you know, overextend yourself and go too far. And then he says that last statement, be constantly controlled by the Spirit. Everybody say, be constantly controlled. It's the other translation. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Actually, in the Greek, it reads, be being filled. And it's a continuous action, a continuous present tense. Be constantly filled. So Weiss translates it, be constantly controlled. To be filled is to be controlled. That's what Kenneth Weiss in his expanded translation, the notes says. So you're not filled with the Spirit like you put, you know, my parents, we used to pick, anybody ever pick green beans and put them in something? So we had like, Jesus help me, like 7 or 8 rows of green beans, and they were long rows. I mean, as far from here to almost the sound booth back there, long. And we would have bushel baskets, and we'd fill bushel baskets full of green beans, you know, and then you got to string them and snap them, you know. Well, being filled with the Spirit's not like filling up that basket with beans. Being filled with the Spirit's being controlled. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know whether or not I'm filled with the Spirit? What's controlling you? Is your anger controlling you? Are other people's words controlling you? Huh? Or are you living to please someone else? Have you got an outward image you're living up to so people will think this or that or the other about you? See, whatever you live to controls you. Huh? So if the Holy Spirit controls me, how does the Holy Spirit control me? The Holy Spirit controls me when I put the Word first in my life. So here's a big question. Can I cut to the chase today? So a question I've got to ask myself, do I know enough of the Word of God so when I start to do something throughout the day, a scripture comes to my mind? If the answer is no, there is absolutely no way the Holy Spirit can control you. The absence of the Word will cause the Holy Spirit to become inert. He will sit, fold his hands, and wait on you to do something. And today, a lot of believers, he's waiting on them to do something. Did you hear me? Listen, I was in church for 18 years. The Holy Spirit didn't hardly do anything in me. In fact, I made a mess of my life by the time I almost turned 18 and gave my life to Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know what happened when I started getting the Word in me? He lit up. He came up. He was already alive, but I mean, he buoyed up like, can we talk? I said, yes, sir, let's talk. Huh? So this is a day to be full of the Holy Ghost. Two works of the Spirit. I'm summarizing. Make sure you go get my notes. My notes are always online. Is that all right? And today I got a bunch of them that I won't be able to get to. So go read them and look at them. They're two works of the Holy Spirit. First of all is the indwelling of the Spirit when you're born again. How many have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Please raise your hand. See, that now what does that mean? That means he wants you to do something with that indwelling. Now, I wrote this in my notes. If y'all... You had to go back and, cut it on and off, cut the notes back on and off on computer, guys. But 2 Corinthians 13:13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How many know there's a communion with the Holy Ghost? And you get that communion with the Holy Ghost when you start getting the Word in you. When you're indwelt by the Spirit, that's one thing. And then if you're indwelt by the Spirit and you start reading the Word to apply it to life, not just reading it to salve conscience and say, click, click, make a check off, I read my Bible today, but you're going to do something with that. That's when the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to talk to that person. If you're not reading the Word that God's already given you, the Holy Spirit has nothing else to say. In fact, most of the time, all he does is bring to your remembrance the things that God's already said to you in the Word. How many hear me? So if you're not putting anything in there, he has nothing to remind you of. Right? So anyway, you got the indwelling of the Spirit, but then there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say baptism with the Holy Spirit. So I just have another question. Are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? One thing to be born of the Spirit, another thing to be baptized with the Spirit. So I always emphasize this. Baptized with the Spirit, the word baptized means, baptizo means to immerse in. So water's in this blue water bottle. And so what's the relationship of this bottle to water? It's in it. The water's in it. What's the relationship to you with the Holy Spirit when you're born again? He's in you. But if I take this bottle of water and put it in a tub of water, you know, maybe I got one of those little tiny kiddie pools, you know, like we got for our grandkids, and I fill it up with water, and I take this bottle and I put it in there. What just happened to the relationship this bottle has with water? It changed. Not only is water in it, but it surrounds it. When you're baptized, immersed in or with the Holy Spirit, he surrounds you like a bubble, like a cocoon. And then what does it do? It starts to guide life, direct life, reminds you of the word, light your path, to direct your way. How many hear me? Three things happen with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit will bring boldness to your life. Now that was me. You don't know the real Mitch before Christ. I was introverted. I didn't talk to people. I rarely made eye contact. And to think, I've told you this before, when I took speaking courses in college, I mean, I threw up right after. That was just me because I was an introvert. But when the Holy Spirit came on me, I mean, a boldness came I never had before. And that's what happens with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. There is a boldness that comes. The wicked, Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. A lion, he's the king of his domain. Ain't nobody gonna mess with him. He's got big paws and a big mouth and a big growl, right? And God will give you boldness if you let him with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Second thing that comes with the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a tremendous hunger for the Bible, a hunger for the Word of God. It comes inside you. It was unbelievable to me. And that hunger, thank God, after 47 plus years, it's still there. But there's a hunger for the Word that comes. If you'll yield to the Spirit, the hunger comes. Let me tell you where we're problemed today is that we have so many things vying for our mental time. And you got to be willing to put that stinking phone down, right? Get off the social media and just start reading, right? Read the Word, feed on the Word, pray, fellowship with God. If you'll do that, life will be different for you. When I was a young man, Susan and I just got married. We didn't even buy we didn't have a color TV set for how long. We had a little 6-inch in case there was an emergency. A little tiny, I'm not making this up. Is it true, Susan? I mean, from 1979 until 1987, we had no TV in our house but a little old tiny, because I never watched it. You say, well, you cuckoo. You can say what you want about me. It's all right. And we finally bought a color TV that was on sale. But what did I do with my time? I read the Word. You wonder how I quote all this stuff? I read the Word. I read translations of Scripture. I read books about the Word by Spirit-anointed authors. That's what I did. Did I do that, Susan? I did that. I got an old baby in one hand, and I got my book in the other hand, right? Or I got the baby on my shoulder. You got the burp, you know. You got the little thing so it didn't burp up on me. And I got the other book in my other hand, and I'm reading, right? So if you'll get in the Word, the Holy Ghost will come alive. I'm talking about staying full of the Holy Ghost, right? Huh? The third thing the Holy Ghost will do is give you a new way to pray. And I've been praying in the Spirit for over 47 years. Let me tell you what the baptism with the Holy Spirit will do. It will incite a tremendous hunger for the Word in you. And then the second thing it will do, the spiritual things will become more real. The spiritual realm, I could say. I don't want to get flaky and kooky with that. I'm just saying the spiritual realm will become very real. That means you'll become more sensitive to spiritual things. The baptism with the Holy Spirit produces that. Now, I know people who were born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit, but they're like the parable that Jesus told of the guy who had money, dug a hole and stuck it in the ground and covered it up with dirt. They did nothing with it. And if you do nothing with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, it won't benefit you at all. I know other people who are not born, not filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, but they're born again, indwelt by the Spirit, but they get their nose in the book and they're committed to God. And he does stuff through them, right? And I know a lot of people more spiritual who are just indwelt and not baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's because they get in the book. And I often think, man, what would that gut person be like with the baptism with the Holy Ghost? Man, Lord, have mercy. Oh, it's a check. Look at that. Somebody wrote me a check. Woo, you better keep that one. Oh, that's nice. Does that make sense? Huh? So that got me off. What was I talking about? I know what I'm talking about. But with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, if you'll put it into practice in your life, it'll make a profound difference. A hunger, a boldness, and then a new way to pray every day since September 12th, 1976. I've prayed in other tongues. And I'm going to tell you what it does. If you'll get in the Word, fellowship with God, and pray in the Spirit, you'll keep your fire lit. And I'm telling you, I don't know how people are going to survive the darkness that's coming without walking in the light of the fullness of the Spirit. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. I'm going to rattle these off quick. They're in the notes. Romans 12:11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Listen to Amplify. Romans 12:11, all of these. Never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. I like it. Phillips translation says, keep the fires of the Spirit burning. Isn't that good? Message paraphrase, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. I like it. The Passion Translation says, keep your passion towards Him boiling hot. Is that good? That's not quite tepid, would you say? Susan has to, can I say this, Susan? Susan has to, she has to, she'll sit there reading her Bible in a book in the morning, and she'll have a cup of hot coffee. And every morning I'm upstairs and I hear her. I hear the door to the microwave open click. And then I hear her cup clink. And then I hear the door shut. Bloom, and then I heard it. Psh, and she has to warm her coffee back up. It's tepid, right? And nobody wants coffee that's lukewarm. So again, keep yourself hot with Jesus, right? Contemporary English version. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit. And then 2 Timothy 1, listen to this. Paul told Timothy, a young minister, this is why I would remind you, stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of laying on of my hands, right? And so, you know, those things are really important. The only way you do that, you got to get in the Word and spend time praying. And I just encourage you, I don't take days off spiritually ever. Every day I get up, read the Word, got my little hot cup of coffee with me. Susan's putting hers in the microwave. I'm joking, Susan. I love you, Sue. You're so easy to pick on. I mean, really. Yeah, we got this thing. We good. You just got to know. But then I pray and seek God. And I'm telling you, how many know it makes a profound difference in your life? Did you? You'll have a hard time overcoming the flesh, the opinions of other people, and the circumstances that are encroaching on us without being full of the Holy Spirit. How many hear me? And to be full of the Holy Spirit is to be controlled. Say this, to be full of the Holy Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I got a lot to say about that, but I don't have a lot of time to finish it. There's six ways to foster the freshness of the Holy Spirit in your life. I've just mentioned two ways. Get in the Word, pray in the Spirit. And then what we did today, singing and worshiping. How many know that goes a long way towards you stirring up the gift of God inside of you? I spend time, I've told you this several times. Let me tell you this several and first time. I spend time every day just singing. I love to sing. I love to worship. And I've got a repertoire of thousands of songs over the past 47 plus years of being in church and stuff. And you know, sometimes I'll just be minding my own business and the song comes up. You know what I do? I sing it. If I'm by myself, I'll sing it. I sing in my truck. I'll sing in my office. I'll sing in the shower. I'll sing in the bed. Well, not really in the bed a lot unless Susan's not there. But I just worship and sing and, you know, making melody in my heart to the Lord. If you'll do that, you'll keep the Spirit of God stirred up in you. And then God will give you songs. We were praying this morning. The Holy Spirit came on me and God started giving me little songs, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many hear me? You ever seen somebody that's really in love and they just make up songs for the person they love? Right? Maybe you hadn't. Joshua, we ever make up songs for? Never? Susan, today when I get home, I'm going to make up a song just for you. Y'all, I used to sing songs. I would take songs and my version of them and make them for my children. You are my true love. I sang that to Susan. Sang it to my little, I got three little girls. I sing it to them. You are the one, you know. Do that to the Lord. Sing it to Him. Worship Him. What I'm saying is there's a heart fellowship with Jesus we have to have if you want to stay full of the Spirit. If all you're going to do is read your Bible, forget about it the rest of the day, it's not going to work. Relationship with God is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's just that way. You don't have any time off with Jesus. He's always with you. He's always living in you. He's with you in every single thing you do, every single thing you think, every occupation you employ. How many hear me? You take him with you. If you go into the bar, he goes to the bar with you. If you go to the bathroom, he's in the bathroom with you. If you go eat, he's eating with you. If you're in your car, he's in the car with you. Darkness and light are the same to him. You can't pull the covers over your head and say, I'm hiding from God. He say, hi, he's under the covers, hi. Right? It's just the way he is, y'all. My fourth point here is pray both with your mind and your spirit. I pray in the spirit in other tongues every day. I do. Then I pray with my mind because I have things that I need and want and I need to talk to the Lord about. So I pray in the spirit. I do both. If you're not doing both, there's a measure of the fullness of the Spirit you're not enjoying. Did you hear what I just said? So if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, take advantage of the prayer language God gave you and don't sit it on the shelf and do nothing with it, right? Number five, you got to forgive every single offense and walk in forgiveness, right? So you don't have the luxury, if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, of being angry with somebody perpetually, right? Nothing's going to happen and people are going to say and do things that you don't like. And you've got to wrestle it down in prayer and you got to give them to the Lord in prayer, right? Number six, walk in love. And I'll talk about that later. Third thing to do, y'all okay? I got two more things. I can do this fairly quickly. The third thing, if you really want to walk with God and go into the future right in 2024, you got to stay close to your family. Amen. Say that again. Amen. Shout it one more time. Amen. I like it. Yes, sir. Let me just say this. So it'll come out right. I'll drink a little bit of water. So listen to what I'm about to say. The Antichrist Marxist ideal that is seeking to break down our country and our freedoms is against strong families. Have you ever figured out that there's a battle against the family? Have you figured out that there's a battle against marriage? Have you figured out it's a battle to separate family members? Right? You gotta know it. I got it right here in my notes. That is the reason that the woke ideology of homosexual, lesbian, and transgender ways of life are being pushed in our schools and universities. Why is that happening? It's Marxism. What is Marxism? An ideology that there is no God. I don't need a God. There are no rules for living on this planet. It's not a fallen planet. It's me, my, and mine doing what the hang I want to do anytime. And where will that lead? Totalitarian control. That's where it leads. Where does it lead? Dictatorship. Do you want that? Do you want that in America? Do you want that over your children? Do you want your children to be in an atmosphere where they're told what to think, where to go and what to do, what to buy and what to do with their time? Then you better do something about it. When the voting booth opens up, you better vote for the right person. Not just listen to what they say. Go back and look at what they've been doing and who they're hanging out with. That's good preaching right there. Say, Pastor, you're getting political. If I'm not political, you're going to lose your nation. Did you hear me? Let me further say, listen. Founding of our nation, the smartest people in the community anywhere in the 13 colonies and such were the pastors because they were the most educated. Huh? And so the pastors held great sway in the foundation of our nation and in what the community thought, because everybody comes to the church house. If there's a problem, if there's a challenge, what's pastor going to say today? Now pastors are wimpy. I'm trying to look for the right word. And the least looked upon people in the community many times. And that's sad. I'm not looking for any accolades, but I intend to obey God. And every pastor ought to open his mouth and speak the word of God. And you got to do it in a way that people can apply it to life. So if you wonder why I talk about Antichrist, Marxism and communism are twins. You can hardly, they're double twins. You can't hardly tell them apart. Do you hear me? So if your children are going to a school and there's transgender and they got their pronouns and boy can be girl, she's Tom, he's Tom at home, but he's Claire at school, you got problems. And if you're not willing to deal with that, you're going to lose your children and they're going to go to hell. Can I be real? Is that true? Huh? Friends, we got to wake up. Our school system's a hallway of hell because of what they're teaching our children. Not every teacher's that way. Not every classroom's that way. But the ideologies go in that direction. Yes or no? So you got to be aware of it. So stay close to your family because of that and understand the huge attack. And it's not just America, it's worldwide. And there are nations where they got a strong leader that says, we're not having it here. Now, whatever you think about this, I'm just going to tell you, for instance, Vladimir Putin said, you won't be having that in Russia. I mean, whether you like him or not, or the ideals that he espouses, he did say that. You know what else he said? We are a Christian nation. I've been there. They do have the churches there. And he said, we're not going to be overrun with that because it don't mix with who we are. Now, you got to respect that whether you like it or not, right? But some nations are going to acquiesce. So stay close to your family because of that. There's an anti-family undercurrent. Be aware of that. Teach your children about family life. More than that, model to your children what they're supposed to be at home. If you're a man, model what it means to be a man. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps and be a leader. Right? If you're a man, you rule your home. If your wife rules you, you have a problem. If your wife tells everybody what to do in the house and you sit back, well, I reckon. Then you know what? You abdicated your responsibility, right? You know what? You know why she has to do it? Because you won't open your mouth. You got to talk. Lead your children. Love your wife. You know how you lead your children? By loving your wife. Huh? You know how you lead your children? By kissing your wife. Hugging her, say, I love her. By helping her with the dishes. Helping her with the trash. Helping her change that nasty baby diaper. Right? By helping her with her car, by doing this stuff, right? That's how you're a leader and your kids see what you're doing. They don't do what you say, they do what you do. Right? Same way with being a girl. If you're gonna be a girl, act like a girl. Don't act like a man, act like a girl. Don't know how to act like a girl. Well, you should be watching mama. Huh? We learn by precept and example, yes or no? Now, having said that, here's what I feel. A lot of people don't have a male figure in the home, and that's a big problem, isn't it? You know why there's not a male figure in some homes? Because they had sex out of wedlock, and they got several babies, and they've never been married. Is that a problem? You know why that's happening? Can I get real? You know why that's happening in America? Because the United States government will pay a single mama to have a baby so much a month. I have stories, y'all. I have stories. Susan's looking at me. What you gonna say, Mitch? All right, I'm gonna say this one. I have a rental house. I've had it since I bought the house I'm in now, since 2006. I've had lots of tenants in there. I had a person in there one time. That had six children, five, six. Jesus, should I say it? And that person's never been married, and their annual income was over $40,000 a year, paid by the U.S. government. Question, is that a problem? Now, don't you be getting, well, I know what I can do now. I ain't got to work. No, you're an idiot. No, that's called sin. And we've quit calling sin, right? I'm talking about family when I'm talking about these things. You know, You should, you know, don't get it out of order. You should grow up, get you an education, then get married, and then have babies. But babies don't come before you marry, they come after you marry. We wouldn't have a problem with abortion if people wasn't having sex outside of marriage. Yes or no?
Yes.
Why can't people call it what it is? Why don't our politicians call it what it is? Huh? It's a game. That's right. Huh? Anyway, God's really clear. Make sure your family life is strong. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. There's not a woman in the world that won't love a man that's loving her and taking care of her. Is not talking about a man having his thumb on her. It's talking about a man loving his wife, making sure her needs are met, treating her the way Jesus treats us. Jesus made sure your every need was met. Jesus gave you the new birth. Jesus gave you authority over your enemy. Jesus gave you access to the throne of God. And Jesus gave you access to his love, his faith, his nature, his being, his spirit. Everything he is, you are. As he is, so are we. How can you not love somebody like that? It's not Jesus way up here. We're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, right beside him. And if a husband will love his wife that way, he'll esteem her, value her, build her up, let her gifts have their place in the world and in the home. How many hear me? But if he looks to her as somebody that, you know, give me a cup of coffee, get me a sweet, give me some tea, make my lunch, make my dinner. Well, make, you know, sometimes make your own, Bubba. If a man's not going to take his place, sometimes there's a place for some of that, right? Having said that, you need to walk in love. How many hear me? I'm going to rattle it up. We're going to mess it up today, I'm telling you. Family life is all important, yes or no?
Yes.
Now, you talk about, you think all these are periphery things. Those are things you deal with every day. Is it true? 1 Peter 3:1, in the same spirit you married women should adapt yourselves to your husbands, so that even if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won to God without any word being spoken, simply by seeing the pure and reverent behavior of you, their wives. Whoa. So it's not worth, when you come into church, when you're going to read your Bible, when you're going to pray, when you're going to hold hands with me and pray over the meal. Well, you know what? Love the man. Do it yourself. And then 1 Peter 3:7, similarly, your husbands should try to understand the wives you live with, honoring them as physically weaker, yet equally heirs with you of the grace of eternal life. If you don't do this, you'll find it impossible to pray properly. You know, God won't answer the prayers of a man who mistreats his wife. I'm going to say that one again. God will not answer the prayers of a man that mistreats his wife. He'll look at you. And you're going to say, God, give me, give me, give me. He'll just look at you. You say, God, why not you talking? He'll just look at you. The only thing he may say is, what you doing with your spouse? Right? Anyway, take time to talk to your spouse. It's really busy today. I get all that. Talk, communicate, heartfelt stuff, right? And don't be like me years ago. The biggest phrase that come out of Susan's mouth was 25 years ago. We're at a seafood. I love seafood. It's my favorite food. And I was eating my, you know, clam chowder. And I was enjoying it. And Susan's saying this and this and this. And I just popped off and said, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And she looked at me and said, here's what she said, Mitch, comma. And then she paused. And just that look, I could say, Mitch, I don't need you to fix me. Period. I'm not through. I need you to listen to me. Did you say that? Y'all, that's the best thing she ever said to me, because I'm a fix-it man. I fix things all day. I fix things here at Victor Church. I can fix my car. I can fix my lawnmower. I fix my bike. I can fix you. And guys, listen, your wife, you know, mostly, generally speaking, women can be real sweet. Now, they got fangs and they got claws. But it's your behavior that determines whether you get the smile or the claw. Right? Is that right? And men got the same thing, just want to be picking on women. But you know, y'all can be real sweet, but you know what brings the sweet, men? You know what brings the sweet out of your wife? You be sweet to her. You love her. Give her the benefit of the doubt. What y'all laughing about? I'm going to shut this down right now. No, we need to joke, but you know what? Family is really important. See, how are you doing with your family? I'm serious. Are you working on your marriage? Are you working on it? Are you working to make it better? Do you tell your spouse? I mean, you know, Susan, I've been married 40. How many years, Susan? I forgot. I'm 44. I know. I got it. We're into our 45th year of marriage. You know, I can't. You know, you get my age, you don't take anything for granted, right? Because I got a lot of people I know who are younger than me who died early and their spouse died, right? And a lot of you don't have your mate with you. I got mine with me. If your spouse is with you, love them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And if there's something that aggravates you, talk to Jesus about it before you do anything in the world. And he may tell you, love them. Or he may say, you do that yourself. Or he may say, you put up with that. How many hear me? I'm talking to men and women here. Women, your husband isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. The Lord may tell you, pray for him, love him. Pray for him, love him. Pray for him, love him. You know, spit baths every other day just generally don't work well. Right? Yeah. Glory. Y'all okay? You thinking? I'm thinking right now, should I do point four? I think I'll keep point four till next week. I think that's what I'll do because I got some pretty edgy stuff to say next week. And this will take the edge off of it. Did I say some edgy stuff today? Y'all, seriously, if you'll stay full of the Holy Spirit, keep your family close, keep the word on the inside of you, you got a good foundation to live with. How many hear what I'm saying? Next week, I got to deal with some challenging things because we are going into a challenging dark time. But this will help you. So I'll just stop and I'll do point four next week, four, five, and six, hopefully, in Jesus' name. So y'all get anything out of this? Come on, close your eyes just a minute. Go ahead and clap. It's all right. It's really all right. Mira's going to come up in just a minute, give announcements, receive the offering, right? So I won't forget all that, but just close your eyes a minute. Lord, your love is upon all of us. I feel, Lord, today I just feel your love for us. You care about us so much. And all of us have different kinds of circumstances, but at the same time, they're similar because there's no temptation taking us, but such is as common to man. But you always make a way of escape. So every person in the room, let every person find that way of escape in Jesus' name. I pray for every person, regardless of the challenges. I pray for me and all of us. The Lord, we would keep room in our hearts to have a strong, current, moment-by-moment fellowship with you in the Word, in prayer. And let the Holy Spirit stay stirred up inside of us. If there's any person, Lord, in the room that is not saved, not walking in fellowship with Jesus, not walking in the light, I ask you to arrest their attention with conviction. Any person here not baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Acts 2:4 way, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak with other tongues, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd put it on their hearts to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I pray for all of us that would not just be indwelt by the Spirit, not just be baptized with the Spirit, but that we also would yield to the Spirit of God and stay full of the Spirit, controlled by Him. Lord, I ask you, let the hunger for you, let it be stronger than any other hunger in life. And Lord, there are people in the room, you're dealing with them, to put their phone down, put social media down, and take the time they've been spending on that and spend it with you. Let it be in Jesus' name. In fact, listen, this is an odd time today. Here's what I'm hearing the Lord say. There's several people in the room, you're really challenged, and you're almost obsessed with your phone and social stuff, and whether it's iPad, phone, whatever. If you'll take time every single hour of the day to break your Bible out, even if you got your Bible on your phone, I've got that. Read some scripture every hour. Every hour. Go to the New Testament. Just read some scripture. Read a few and then just think about it and put it away and do what you do. If you got a break at work, take your Bible out instead of your phone. Right? If you got a lunch break, take your Bible instead of your phone. Well, you might have your Bible on your phone, but don't open the social media. I'm challenging you. If you'll do it, God will do something special in you. Huh? Right? That stuff can be so addictive, and it's another tool of the Antichrist spirit in the world to control your thinking. Right? So, Father, I'm asking you to work specially in every person and draw us to yourself. Maybe not just, hear about these things on Sunday, but we do it throughout the week in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be here. You say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I need to repent of my sin. I need to make things right. That may be you. Well, you know what? You can do that today. Jesus can be refreshed. And maybe you've never known Jesus, but maybe you've fallen away from God. Maybe you're going through the motions. You may be a person that attends church every week, but you've fallen away from the Lord in your heart. See, God, only God knows that. You can be smiling on the outside and frowning on the inside. You can act like everything's wonderful, but if it's a facade, well, God wants you to be real with Him. You know what? If you'll be real with Him, He'll be so close to you. If God can forgive Peter for denying Him, God can forgive David for premeditated murder, lust, and adultery. If God can forgive Samson for going after those Philistine women, He can forgive you, all right? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but everybody in the room, would you pray? Would you do this for the sake of those that may be around that need this? You may need the Lord today. God wants you. He wants you to want Him. And He wants you to have full fellowship with Him. But you can't if your heart's divided. Let's get rid of the divided heart. I want you to have you with your heads bowed, eyes closed. Pray with me out loud. Put this thing up on the screen. Put it up on the screen. That's all right. Glory to God. Pray with me. Everybody pray out loud. God, I repent of my sin. Today I change my heart and my mind about how I've been living my life. I ask you to forgive me for every sin that I have committed from the time I was born until today. I believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, that He died in my place to pay for my personal sins, and that He rose from the dead to make me right with you. Jesus, I give myself wholeheartedly to you for the rest of my life. Change my interests, my desires. Thank you for saving me from my sin. In Jesus' name.